broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman on your radio. Happy Valentine's Day to you and your loved ones, ladies and gentlemen. This is the broadcast for February the 14th. In the year of our Lord, 2022, this is indeed our two of two. And our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we the people need to use the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. The checks and balances are brilliant and one of the great solutions we still have at our fingertips. Reject revolution, stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Would you please? All right, the good doctor's in the house. Dr. Scott Bradley with us. FreedomsRisingSun.com is website. His lifelong goal and collegiate series to match, to preserve the nation. Welcome back on Valentine's Day, sir.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate the good reminder. I mean, a lot of us probably are so buried in some of the other nonsense that's going on, we forget that we ought to be paying attention to other things too. So it's a good reminder about Valentine's. But you know, you mentioned the checks and balances, and I don't know if I want to take it off on this tangent, but very few people, if any, have even heard of Montesquieu. We've talked on your show enough that some of your listeners would be hearing. But here's a Frenchman. It's interesting how we had Frenchmen inextricably interwoven into our founding. You know, like Montesquieu, he wrote the first third of the 1700s. He was kind of a precursor to the guys like Blackstone and, of course, all of the founding fathers. And then we had guys like Lafayette, and we had the guy like Bastiat. There were some really fantastic Frenchmen along the way, but you mentioned the checks and balances and everything. Montesquieu wrote, before the American founders, about checks and balances and separation of powers and this idea of having a independent judiciary, independent legislature, independent executive. And it's interesting how those elements got incorporated into the United States. And, of course, he was a monarchist because being in France at that time, it was not healthy to not be a monarchist. But we didn't adopt everything he wrote. But what we did do, the founding fathers looked, examined, and under, I believe, the inspiration of God, they picked the elements that would help this nation to become what it was to be. But the fact of the matter is, it was foundational to how we operate. They've completely blurred that today in terms of daily operation. It's like the executive makes laws, so does the judiciary, and so on. But these things absolutely were clearly understood, and when Madison later wrote, if you blend the executive, judiciary, and the legislative into one body, it's the very definition of tyranny. They came from a strong foundation, and guys like Jefferson would have said, yeah, they do, that's for sure. So, but Americans today don't understand what we have given away, and it's just tragic, and I really think that that's one of the great reasons that we're losing everything, is because we don't know what it costs to put them there and the wisdom behind it. So, I don't know. There you go. You said,
ladies
one
and gentlemen,
word
look. Let me just say this: what is the meaning of Montesquieu's idea of checks and balances? This is a serious, open question that you need to think about. Understand, we're talking about the separation of powers and checks and balances, ladies and gentlemen. The answer would be found in the unique experiment tried by the founding fathers in the beginning. All right? The unique feature in the Constitution, the pairing of separated powers with an intricate system of checks and balances to give each branch fortifications against encroachments by the others. Dr. Bradley, this is serious, and this really is the solution to the problems we face today, sir.
Well, absolutely. In fact, as again, you got to go back to the Federalist Papers and read them. But people today say, oh, man, it's the most difficult reading I've ever done. No, it isn't. It's clear, concise review of what it takes to preserve this nation. But the, you know, you talk about the checks and balances, and then you inferred on something, which is absolutely essential. Those that have the power must have the constitutional means by which to resist encroachments. And you know, for example, the legislature, they got to grow a backbone, man. The legislature needs to say, the heck you say, President, you're trying to create law by mandates or whatever. Your alphabet soup organizations are trying to create law by policy and procedure that's enforced as though it were law upon the Americans. No, Americans did not give their consent. They did not give, as it's talked about in the Declaration, the consent to be governed is required. The governed gave their consent on the ratification of the Constitution, and they said, okay, we understand. Here's the sand pile, if you will, the general government can play in. They can't get out of that sand pile. And it's compartmentalized and it's divided and subdivided, and there's places where the kids in the sand pile can push back on the other kids that are in another segment that weren't granted that authority to play in that part of the sand pile. All of that's there. But unless and until and I think how do I throw the most blame? I guess I really can't. If you had an executive that understood and kept their actions within the bounds, we'd be we'd make a great leap into freedom. But if we had a legislature that understood that, we'd have a great leap into freedom. If we had a judiciary, I mean, you look at John Roberts. I tried to keep him from even being confirmed in his hearings, but you know, who am I? I'm a small voice. But they thought they were getting this great conservative. And then when the Obamacare comes before the Supreme Court, John Roberts gave it cover by saying, oh, yeah, the Constitution says this general welfare thing, and it has the general government has the power to tax. Oh, yeah, so it fits. No, the power to tax is associated only with the power that was granted to do that. They can tax to, for example, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 5. They can tax to create a mint and create money, for example. They can tax to do immigration naturalization. They can tax to regulate commerce with foreign nations. They can't tax, you know, anything that's not specifically stated. And if you look at Article 1, Section 8, Clause 18, people use that as the elastic clause, if you will. They can carry out anything they need to do. No. Read it carefully, people. It says they have power to carry out the duties that are listed there. That's it. Nothing else. And when they find themselves outside those bounds, as John Roberts did, and I'm afeard that John Roberts is going to haunt us even more desperately in the near future. But the fact of the matter is, the founders clearly understood this. They separated and they checked and balanced. They divided and subdivided, and they gave the power to push back to the various different departments. And they're not doing that. The legislature is sitting idly by while they fiddle away our, you know, using the Nero thing with Rome burning. Anyway, no, they're sitting there idly by, and they pontificate, and they wring their hands, and oh, my goodness, oh, ain't it awful. They dink around with all sorts of things they have no right to be dinking around with, and they won't step up and keep their oath of office to prevent the encroachments that are happening constantly. So, I mean, let's just take, for example, the immigration issue. No, it's not immigration. It's an invasion. We had more people come last year. I mean, in a given month, we were having a greater number of people coming in than invaded on D-Day in June of 44, and that invasion force wasn't going away. Over the whole year, they dumped more people into our country than we dumped into Europe after that date to defeat Hitler. It is an invasion. It's a tidal wave. And of course, Biden has a responsibility to carefully execute the laws of the land. That's talked about in Article 2. And the legislature wrings their hands in impotent despair that, well, this is how they're doing it, you know, kind of thing. And, oh, my heavens. So nobody's doing their job. Everybody's doing something they weren't hired to do. and they keep fundraising. It's a program by which the incumbents can keep their cushy job back there. Anyway, I didn't want a tangent. She'll take you off. I do it oftentimes.
Well, I want to talk about this a little bit more, though. Let's talk about why the checks and balances, in my mind, are failing. The intention of the Founding Fathers was to not only have checks and balances at the general level, which means the executive branch, the legislative branch, and the judicial branch. They were designed to jealously guard their responsibilities and authority, their commission, if you will, by the consent of the governed. And they were to protect and back the other groups off, if you will, when encroached upon. So the legislative body should be saying to the courts, or to the executive branch, the president, no, or vice versa. The president should say, you know what, I appreciate you guys want to have Obamacare, but you know what, I don't have authority to execute or carry out Obamacare. We're not doing that on my watch, period. And you know what? You have basically, or you're expecting us to spend funds that have never properly been, granted, because even if you try to give funding for it, you don't have authority. You don't have delegated authority in the first place to even do it. So funding something you don't have authority to do doesn't make any sense. See, each one needs to call the other on the carpet. But that's only on the general level, divided into three branches. We also have dual sovereignties. The states have tremendous authority, where the federal government has minimal, defined, documented authority via the supreme law of the land. We'll come back and talk about this more with the good Dr. Scott Bradley in seconds. FreedomsRisingSun.com if you want to check out his incredible webinars.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman and Dr. Scott Bradley on your radio, freedomsrisingsun.com. Check out his incredible webinars weekly, and also check out his collegiate series, To Preserve the Nation. Incredible for homeschoolers and those who want to educate themselves about the proper role of constitutional limited government. The answer is not to run around and try to build a better mousetrap. The answer is to look at the 200-year incredible history. When we obey the principles of liberty, we have success. When we turn our back on them, we have nothing but disaster. So to preserve the nation, to restore the republic, whatever term you want to use, is the answer. It has always been. And will always be, ladies and gentlemen. Understand that. But I digress, except to say these checks and balances are critical. And I mentioned the general government and the three branches separating power. They should jealously guard their delegated authority. But the same regarding the states. The states and the federal should have a separation. The states have a state constitution guarding the reality for the states. In other words, laying out what they have authority to do. We the people gave different jurisdictional authorities to different groups on purpose. This is critical to understand and important to lay out before the people, because that's the way I believe with these checks and balances, we can bring things back. We can insist the states ratchet down the general government. We can insist the states take care of business, but we can also put a check on the states when they get belligerent. This is the authority that we the people have that we really need to understand. Not only do we have the authority, but we've only given consent under circumstances to certain divisions of power on purpose. And what we need to do is jealously guard our consent and say, wait a minute, that isn't what we gave consent for you to do, my friends. And we need to be bold and dedicated and consistent in delivering this reality as we the people. And until we do, pardon the pun, I know this isn't great French, if you will, but ain't going to get better, Dr. Bradley.
So true. The thing that we, oh boy, someday we'll maybe have to do a program on nullification, because that truly is, you know, the states are the makers of the contract being the Constitution. The general government, federal, national, however most people refer to it, but the general government is the creature of the contract. They were created by the contract. They have no authority whatsoever other than what is delegated therein. And the states were the makers of it, and so they have a responsibility as makers of the contract to step back in. The creature cannot create its own power. It is delegated only that which is absolutely specifically stated. And so the states must re-enter the picture if the general government. Washington and Madison wrote eloquently about this. And again, I don't want to get too far afield, because this is something we could take a full hour on and just give a basic understanding. But that's the way it was and understood to be. And the creature cannot exceed the boundaries that it was created under. Then you look at some of these other separations of powers. They were so, well, let's talk about the 10th Amendment for just a second. A lot of people, including our governor, our former governor in a home state, probably our current governor, believe that the 10th Amendment says that the states can do whatever they darn well please. That is not the case. You go back to the fundamental principles under which this free land was established, found in the Declaration of Independence, where the consent of the governed is given. And the purpose of government is to secure God-given rights. States can't violate God-given rights, not and be proper government, I guess. I guess they violate fundamental rights all the time, and they need to be called back and reeled in. But the states cannot just say all of a sudden, no, we're going to regulate your religious liberty with a mandate about you can't worship or gather in a group. We're going to say you got to shut down your business. Article 1, Section 10 says that the states can't interfere in business. The idea of habeas corpus and everything, this idea of not being incarcerated or held imprisoned without due process, all of those things, the states cannot violate just because the 10th Amendment says that these powers are reserved to the people in the states. No, the states are limited but not only by their constitutions, but the fundamental principles that are found in the Declaration of Independence. Now let's look at one other thing, the separation of powers. The Founding Fathers were so worried about power accrual and ultimately becoming abused by those that had it, that they not only separated the different divisions, if you will, within the general government, and of course between the state and the general government, but they also divided and subdivided the powers that were delegated through the source of power. If you will, the House of Representatives originally got and continues to get their power from the people. They're directly elected by the people. The Senate originally, and does no longer do this, based upon the egregious 17th Amendment that was
the perversions ratified. That have taken place since, if you will.
That's right. The states had a representative's status, a seat at the table, if you will, at the general government, because they appointed the senators. The president was elected via a more complex situation, not by the people, not by the states, but by a kind of a composite or a compound of those things through an electoral college. Now, all of these things are under assault. 17th Amendment has already made the senators glorified members of the House, only they have a six-year term still, and they consequently are buying power the same way the House always has, by largesse from the government. But they're trying to do that, do away with that, with the president in changing the Electoral College. All of these things were a fitly formed, the tapestry was wonderful that was created to control and contain the tendency of mankind to obtain and then begin to abuse power, and they were trying all they could to prevent that from happening at the general level, and of course with the states, the people need to keep themselves reeled in also. So all of these things fit together, everything from nullification to a recognition of, the executive can't create law. He can't do a mandate, can't set it through his alphabet soup organizations. The courts can't create law. By the way, this one could take a little while to discuss, but back during the Andy Jackson administration, he put some egregious oppressions upon the Native American peoples. And
wrongly so, let's be clear.
It was horrid. Absolutely horrid. There were absolute horrid burdens placed upon the Native Americans. And it went to the Supreme Court. John Marshall ruled against Jackson. And Jackson, although he was wrong in what he had done, he was right in what he said about how the Supreme Court handles things. He said, Marshall has his ruling. Now let him enforce it. See, the Supreme Court can't enforce anything unless we bow our knee and humble ourselves before them and allow babies to be killed just because they said it's okay to do, or because they said Obamacare is okay, or because, you know, we could take innumerable examples, because almost never do they keep their actions within the constitutional bounds. And the way they apply the case law and how the Supreme Court gets to basically create law that way. Anyway, the fact of the matter is Marshall was right in ruling against Jackson in regards to the Native Americans, but Jackson was right in saying, well, the Supreme Court made the ruling, but now let them enforce it. They do not have an enforcement arm. The executive carries that out. And so
let me stop you there, doctor, though, and say not yet.
Well, yeah.
See, and the reason I give that warning is because, ladies and gentlemen, see, we used to say all kind of things about the checks and balances. Hey, don't worry, the states can rein in the federal government. Well, no, we put the 17th Amendment in place, and now they don't even have a seat at the table for that to happen. No wonder the federal government or the general government so powerful, and the states seem to be puppets of the Fed, because, again, they don't have representation. The equal footing, the dual sovereignty has been jettisoned. Okay, the same thing is true here. You know what? I agree, let them enforce it, but I also agree to say, hey, we got to have respect for their rulings. But the only way you have respect for their rulings is if they stay in their lane. And when they violate the consent of the governed, you say, hey, these jokers are criminal too. And so we have got to jealously guard these different checks and balances. And it's worth pointing out, you know, these checks and balances, the judicial, if you will, the executive and the legislative, that's all the way to the states, have the same form of separation of powers. And so do the counties. Dr. Bradley,
yes.
These separations were designed everywhere to act as checks and balances. Every system in America has a check, a cross-check, a watch, an overlook, offset that always, at least in the intention of the founders, would make sure that, you know what, you're not going to move forward with this, or you're not going to do this without making sure we've got 56 ways from Sunday to stop you. Yes, there needs to be government, so that the vacuum doesn't get filled by a greater despot or a greater tyrannical thug that would abuse us more. So government's a necessary evil. But we did our very best to rein them in. And the only way to fix it is for a moral people to go back there to preserve the nation, if you will. FreedomsRisingSun.com, Dr. Scott Bradley with me on your radio.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
U.S. USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Up to 4,000 workers in New York City could lose their jobs at any moment because of the vaccine mandate in the Big Apple. New York City Mayor, Democrat Eric Adams.
Responsibility is clear. We said it. If you hire and you get this job, you have to be vaccinated. If you are not following the rules, you are making that decision. You're making the decision.
The top Republican on the House Judiciary Committee, Representative Jim Jordan from Ohio, said Sunday that a bombshell new federal filing proves President Trump's claim he was being illegally spied on and the Russian collusion tale is a hoax. The Durham investigation named three people inside the Hillary Clinton campaign as the masterminds, including current National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan. Representative Michael Turner said that Durham's investigation uncovered a whole new level of corruption, and it's of grave concern. USA Radio News.
Water stains on the shower glass. Try rubbing some shaving cream on.
Tyler's cleaning crew knows every housekeeping trick in the book.
Handling timesheets now.
But they need a proper bookkeeper to keep finances tidy.
New equipment is a business expense, right?
Indeed can help them hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Instant Match instantly connects you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your sponsored job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
You need an accurate thermometer to check for fever, a potential sign of flu or COVID. Be vigilant and contact your medical provider at the first sign of fever. Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer has been proven accurate in more than 100 clinical studies. Exergen Temporal Scanners are available at Walmart and other fine retailers. Learn more at Exergen.com. That's Exergen.com. Exergen is changing the way the world takes temperature.
The U.S.-Canada border bridge that's been shuttered for days between Windsor, Ontario and Detroit, Michigan reopened Sunday night after police cleared protesters who had been demonstrating against COVID-19 restrictions. By 10 p.m. local time, the Ambassador Bridge was fully open, allowing the free flow of commerce between Canada and the United States. The truckers were protesting the Canadian vaccine mandate, with only a few arrests reported. The Los Angeles Police Department declared an unlawful assembly Sunday night after violent and destructive Los Angeles Rams fans wreaked havoc on downtown streets following the team's Super Bowl victory over the Cincinnati Bengals 23-20. One television station reported it went from excusable to non-excusable behavior quickly. We are USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live. Dr. Bradley with me, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Scott Bradley on your radio. He joins me Monday and Fridays on the radio. Liberty Roundtable Live, syndicated on all kinds of radio networks. The Loving Liberty Radio Network, Liberty News Radio, Brighty on Radio, on AM/FM stations across the country, on the internet, live and on demand. The distribution just continues to grow, ladies and gentlemen, and thank heavens for that. But I was mentioning before the pause with Dr. Scott Bradley this reality check of, you know what, the separation of powers with checks and balances is critical. The answer is found, ladies and gentlemen, in the unique feature of the Constitution for the United States of America, the supreme law of the land. The pairing of separated powers with an intricate system of checks and balances designed to give each fortification against encroachment protection by abuse from the others. And this was not only at the general level. This was the separation between the states and the general. It was the separation vertically and horizontally at every level, counties from the states and so on. And the three branches that we mentioned for checks and balances are through the states and all the way to the local level, Dr. Bradley. They did this at every single chance they got to put a check, to put a balance, to put a, whoa, hold on now, stop. Yeah, but, because that's the uniqueness of a constitutional republic. And that's why when the founders were asked, what kind of government did you give a republic if you can keep it? The idea was not a democracy, although there are principles in democratic involvement. It is not a, because there's nothing that put the blend together. The unique proper role of limited government, nothing was put together hitherto in history. Oh, they borrowed heavily from the Bible. They borrowed heavily from research and from Montesquieu and from all kinds of others, Locke and many. But you know what? At the end of the day, they had a unique form of government like no other ever in the history of the world. But the grand old experiment 200 years later is incredible to look back with 2020 on, isn't it, Doctor?
It is. In fact, Madison wrote extensively about that, about how utterly miraculous it was that the finger of God seemed to touch every step of the way. It's interesting, they knew clearly that the nature and disposition of almost all mankind is to seek, obtain, and then begin to abuse power. And that's why these checks and balances are so critically important. But we've largely abandoned those things as we've gone forward. And it's interesting, it wasn't unique to just this continent. There was a guy by the name of Edmund Burke that was a British leader that he had a soft spot in his heart, let's put it that way, for the Americans. And by the way, he was much more wise than Thomas Jefferson was initially when he saw the French Revolution ramping up. He understood it was going to end in tyranny because of the scoundrels that were involved in it and the principles that they were espousing. And Jefferson was so enthused about, liberty that he figured the French were going to pick up and take it to the European continent. Anyway, Burke, a British leader, was favorable to the Americans and spoke in their behalf oftentimes, and yet there was it wasn't always listened to. But when we were talking before the break, a quotation came to mind that he wrote back in 1777. He said, "People crushed by law have no hopes but from power. If law is the enemy, they will be enemies to laws. And if those who have much to hope and nothing to lose will always be dangerous." And so what we come to is in a nation where we're being crushed at every turn, when every principle is being violated, when the wicked leadership, and they are wicked, they're scoundrels, almost to almost everyone. There's some exceptions, I would believe. But most are there seeking, obtaining, and then abusing power. And that was not the American way. And we get people that use all sorts of excuses. Oh, the welfare clause. Oh, yeah, we gotta. No, welfare had nothing whatsoever to do with redistributing wealth, taking from one and giving to another. That's explicitly prohibited. We could go back to the Federalist Papers and find out how Hamilton, for example, in a couple of places, was very direct in saying that you can't take one man's means and give it to another because you control the man that you're taking it from. And so it's interesting, just the welfare thing for a second. It's in both the Article 1, Section 8, and it's also in the preamble. But what welfare means, according to the founders' definition, was an exemption from any unusual evil or calamity, the enjoyment of peace and prosperity, or the ordinary blessings of society and civil government.
And so let me stop you there, Doctor, really quick about this general welfare clause. Not only was the general welfare to prevent calamity and create stability, but it was designed to say, now, in this general welfare, you can only use the tools we've given you in the supreme law of the land to carry that out, right?
No question. And so what the general welfare clause there was to create a stable, predictable government, an environment in which you could start a family and expect to be able to raise them in peace, where you could start a business and expect it to succeed based upon your efforts to grow it. You didn't have to be worried about civil disruption like we hear about in L.A. when buffoons take it to the street and they burn the town down because a ball game got won. You have justice administered in the courts. You prevented the foreign powers are held off at bay so that they don't invade our country. Warfare is not something you're going to face. Civil war, economic upheaval because of a false money system. And you look at this today and you say, wait, no, we have a false money system. Oh, no, the foreign powers don't respect us anymore. Oh, wait a minute. We don't have justice in the courts anymore like we used to have because the founding fathers, when they established a court system, if there was a bias in it at all, it was biased towards the defendant to make certain that there wasn't an innocent person that got punished. But those kinds of things are being set aside. So the general welfare clause is being violated at every turn, and they've replaced it with a false philosophy of redistribution of wealth. So this idea of the blessings of society and civil government, that's what the general welfare clause was. The civil government did not oppress, it did not betray, it did not abuse. And this going back to this Edmund Burke letter that he wrote back in 1777, if laws are being created that are pulling these levers of government, and we do this all the time, we do it with so-called civil rights laws or gender laws or something like that that create rights in quotes, because they're not rights, they are new impositions of responsibility.
If you look at the Declaration of Independence, they would be considered pretend rights based on pretend legislation.
Indeed, they would be. And here's what's happening. They're trying to limit our God-given rights, the right to keep and bear arms, the right to assemble, the right to practice our religion in the marketplace and in the world and everywhere else. The idea of being able to have free speech, which was designed to be able to bring out threats that were being carried out against us by government agencies. Free the press and everything like that. That has nothing to do with lewd anything. It has everything to do with preserving our liberty. But we have twisted and turned these things into perverse views that are being used against us now. And the original intent is again, if people would study, consider, understand, we would be able to restore these things, and every aspect would be brought into play again. The nullification aspect, the pushing back between the different departments, the states against the creature overstepping its bounds at the national level. All of these things would clear up if we had an understanding electorate that would say, no.
An insistent electorate to speak up, though. It's one thing to understand. Even Satan knows that Jesus is the Christ. It's about action, though, of following the principles. Okay, if you know Jesus is the Christ, that's one thing. It's another thing to obey him and follow him. Okay, same thing is true here. You've got to apply these principles, ladies and gentlemen. So one more point on the general clause or general welfare clause in the Constitution. It was intended to create a stable system, a stable environment for us to live and prosper and work as individuals and families under God, not really government. And that's why the Ten Commandments were so key. And that's why there was so very little commandments or mandates by government, because they just weren't needed for a moral people. Moral people were self-governing individuals, and you don't need a whole lot of guidelines for self-governing folks. You need reminders. You need the Ten Commandments. You need clear boundaries. But at the same time, you know what? Teach people correct principles and they're governed themselves is the point. Well, anyway, I digress, except to say here that the tools in the Constitution were designed to keep that stability. The way you know that the general welfare clause is being ran off the rails is because what they need is new authority, new consent, new power to enact all this redistribution of wealth. To enact all this is government is God, and whatever government says goes. They can create rights on the fly. They can this, they can that, they can. It's all a big lie. And you know, because the tools of consent are not even found in the Constitution, the supreme law, for those things to occur. Hang tight. Liberty Roundtable live.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live. So what I'm saying is, you know, the general welfare clause is being misinterpreted and off the rails, because if you look at the consent of the governed, what we gave them authority to do, defined, articulated, clearly spelled out in the Constitution, hey, they could keep the society stable and create a great environment for you and I to prosper in every way. But yet the things they want to do with the general welfare clause, they don't have the tools in the Constitution to carry out the unjust, lack of consent, manipulated, perverted actions based on this idea that the general welfare clause is the redistribution of wealth or puts government in charge of anything, or anything the government wants to do or say goes. They have unlimited, stretchable or elastic power to do whatever they want to. Look, the tools aren't even in the Constitution for them to carry that out, folks, so you know it's bogus on its very face. Dr. Bradley.
If, you know, we should learn from history. I mean, those that don't are doomed to repeat it, but we look back at Rome. Rome began as a republic. It was a solid, stable. The people were hardworking, and they enjoyed good government for a long period of time. And it's interesting, the parallelisms, I mean, they're almost innumerable today if we were to draw them. But if you look at how Rome came to fail, and it was immorality and debauchery and everything else like that. But during the Constitution Convention of 1787, James Madison said, among the Romans, it was the standing maxim to excite a war whenever a revolt was apprehended. Throughout all Europe, the armies kept up under the pretense of defending have enslaved the people. So we look at the failed presidency of Joe Biden, of the governance of the current people that are in office. And the people are saying, wait, something's wrong. This is not right. We're, you know, and so as we see this kind of rolling discontent that's coming through the people, if you will, we're in danger of a war, because exciting a war is perceived by the management, if you will, of unifying the people and diverting them from their discontent that they have. So we got to keep our antennas up about that. But in addition to that, the bread and circuses, I mean, you look at the foolishness that has prevailed across this nation for the bread and circuses that we are fed constantly in this nation.
Yeah, to make your point, look at the Rams last night. They won in L.A., and then what happens? The winners go and riot.
Well, it's
like, what the heck?
The bread and circuses that are diverting our attention from the sober-mindedness of everything that really matters. Nothing really mattered about any of those bread and circuses that were fed. Nothing. There was absolutely zero. I mean, if people say, oh, well, our team won, what the heck does that mean? Did you have any skin in the game? Did you really go out and expend your energy on the field? No, you sat there on your butt and watched and threw your corn chips at it or whatever the heck it was, and you have this riotous diversion, and we're letting our land slip through our fingers. We've forgotten the blessings of liberty because we're being entertained all the time. And it's not just ball games. I mean, we're talking about movies and you know, the...
we're talking about a general setting anything. Aside of what's important and of value for things of lesser value to the point where we betray that which can keep us free. So we talked about Sam Adams a little bit last hour with Lowell Nelson, and we talked about five quotes from Samuel Adams. And I want to quote two of them right now again because it really relates to the topic at hand, Dr. Bradley. It is in the interest of tyrants to reduce the people to ignorance and vice, for they cannot live in any country where virtue and knowledge prevail. Now, I think that relates exactly to what you're saying here, is that, hey, we're just jettisoning everything of virtuous and lovely and of good report, and we're putting it on the altar of this, vice, of this lack of knowledge, ignorance, this where we just simply trade, we literally sell our pot of porridge, if you will. Here's the next quote from Samuel Adams. A true patriot would keep the attention of his fellow citizens awake to their grievances and not allow them to rest until the causes of their just complaints are removed. Okay, these two go hand in hand to say we're literally doubling down on the ignorance and the vice and jettisoning the things of virtue. And patriots such as the Dr. Scott Bradley will continue to hammer on this as long as he can until we either pay attention or until he's not able to do it anymore. And that's where we are at this point, Dr. Bradley. We need to stand in the gap. We need to truly articulate these checks and balances. We truly need to focus on Montesquieu's incredible viewpoint, which is, hey, we have got to work on this stuff, okay? We don't need the majority to prevail. Rather, we need an irate, tireless minority, keen on setting brush fires of freedom in the minds of men and women, of course. Dr. Bradley?
Sam Adams was known as the father of the American Revolution. He was a revolutionary, but a couple more quotes from Sam Adams that I think it brings back to a common theme on your radio program. He said, "The sum of all is, if we would most truly enjoy the gift of heaven, let us become a virtuous people. Then shall we both deserve it and enjoy it. While, on the other hand, if we are universally vicious and debauched in our manners, though the form of our Constitution carries the face of the most exalted freedom, we shall, in reality, be the most abject slaves." Then on another occasion he observed, "I thank God that I have lived to see my country independent and free. She may long enjoy the independence and freedom. If she will, it depends on her virtue." So, and you mentioned Montesquieu again in your little lead up to this. Montesquieu described a republic in one word, virtue. We have to be a virtuous people if we're going to retain our republic. So there's so much that ties together. I mean, it's all interwoven. It's all before us if we will allow it to be. And it's interesting to me that the pathway that we're on right now is almost exclusive of these good and noble principles. And it's not by happenstance. In fact, we'll just use another quotation from our good friend Thomas Jefferson. He said, "Single acts of tyranny may be ascribed to the accidental opinion of the day, but a series of oppressions begun at a distinguished period and pursued unalterably through every change of ministers to plainly prove a deliberate, systematical plan of reducing us to slavery." See, it's not by chance that they seem to stumble over every correct principle when it's brought forth. They seem to never give consideration to any correct principles. They seem to just run willy-nilly, just off the rails constantly, carrying out things they have no authority to do. And it's not by just chance. It's as Thomas Jefferson said, a deliberate, systematical plan of reducing us to slavery. And whether it's bread and circuses that we expend our energies on, or it's a redistribution of wealth through welfare that's now got over $30 trillion of admitted debt that we've got in the nation that's totally unconstitutional, not only do we start unconstitutional wars, not only do we kill unborn babies, not only do we have immorality running rampant. I mean, you can make a list of all the things, and it's kind of like, yeah, this is a systematical, deliberate effort. And unless and until we wake up to what our risk is, what our awful situation is, I fear we'll continue to fall into the traps or step in the whatever and continue to find our pathway in a turmoil. And people go, well, golly, I know something's wrong. I just don't know what. Well, virtually everything the government is doing, because the government never had any authority to do what it wanted, what it wants to do now. It just doesn't have that.
What I think of, Dr. Bradley, to sum up the broadcast today is, by their fruits shall you know them.
Well, yeah, think about this for a second. These projects in the big cities that have turned into, I mean, they're a prison where the gangs and the prisoners are running the crazy farm. I mean, they were going to provide a place for people to live that didn't have the means to do so. No, government doesn't have a role in that. It doesn't at all. I mean, and what we've done is we've taken away, you know, the duty, if you will, of religion to step in and help their fellow man. Because, oh, no, I gave it the office. You know, everything's taken away in my paycheck, and the government's going to take care of this, and so I can go expend my energy on bread and circuses or whatever, you know. We have lost the true Christianity of being our brother's keeper by using the force of government to take from some and give to another, and they do a very poor job of that. You look at the results in Chicago, for example. Holy cow. Or Washington, D.C. Holy cow. All the large inner cities. You know, Newark, New Jersey. I mean, pick a big city that's got big projects in it. They're failures because the wrong program is being followed.
And even though modern day would mock the founders, calling them racists and this and that and whatever dishonest manipulations they may bring forward, by their fruits shall you know them. You look at what the founders created, the greatest country in the history of the world, providing more freedom to more people than any other system on the planet. A system with checks and balances to chain down those who would abuse power. Vertical, horizontal checks and balances. Combine that with we, the people, giving consent to certain jurisdictional boundaries on purpose to rein in and chain down and expect government to obey its proper, limited, supreme law of the land constitutional role. That's the fruits of the founders. And now look at us today, and you'll see the fruits of those who rail against the founders. Ye must choose this day what you believe to be the truth based on the fruits, ladies and gentlemen. I, for one, stand with the founding fathers. I, for one, stand with God Almighty and the author of our liberty, Jesus Christ. And until we repent and turn to God Almighty and become a moral people again, you know what? We're in serious trouble. You're going to see more bread and circus and more abuse than you've ever seen before if we continue down this road. I don't mean to be negative, but I do mean to be candid. I do mean to be clear, and I do mean to point out the direction of solutions. Final word's yours, Dr. Bradley.
Well, the people come to see the law as their enemy, as Burke pointed out, if the law is taking away from their natural God-given things, their freedom to choose, their peace, their prosperity. And what is happening today in the modern world of American government, if you will, local, state, a national, is that the government is creating an environment where the people are pushing back, and it will come to a very ugly finish if we don't realize that the right thing for government was already defined and we go back to that path.
Sounds ladies like and gentlemen, you got to pray hard, you got to repent, you got to get up, and you got to put your own house in order. Then you got to teach your family to do the same. And because families are the fundamental unit of society, in time, government will mirror moral, good, honest families ordained of God by a father and a mother, a male and a female that God put together to carry out his purposes, to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man. We can be part of that, ladies and gentlemen. What a glorified opportunity God has given us. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.